This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
I'm going to get right into this word this morning. So if you would turn your Bibles or your devices, however you do it, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. Chapter 10, I'm going to start in verse 7. It said, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold." He's talking about us. "Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." When Jesus spoke these words, church, he was addressing Pharisees. He was speaking to Pharisees. They were teachers of the law that were supposed to be motivated by loving and serving God, but they had become self-serving and motivated by personal status and money. I've been in this position in this church. I've been here 30 years or so, but I've been standing at this pulpit now for 10 years next year, September. Time flies when you're having fun, amen? And over that time, if you've been here over those 10 years, and many of you have, I haven't preached much on money. In fact, I can count on three fingers the number of messages I have preached on money. And the reason that I have not preached on money, be it a right reason or a wrong reason, is I, like you, have been burned by so much pulpit abuse in the area of money. Just as in Jesus' day, too many hirelings in the pulpits of the churches. Just as in Jesus' day, too many preachers in it for the money and the status more than serving God and equipping the people of God for God's purposes. Too often in the pulpits, praying to God that his will be done became praying on people that the preacher's will be done. Too often, tithes and offerings for the building of the kingdom became tithes and offerings to build kings. And I allow myself to get to a place where I just, you know what, I'm just not going to talk about money. I'll just talk about Jesus, and when Jesus is in our hearts, the money will take care of itself. But the Holy Spirit moved in on me last week and he said, it's time. It's time to teach again. But teach about the word of God. Jesus said, whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, hirelings. And the Bible time and time again says many false teachers will come after him that would also be thieves and robbers. He said a hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. In other words, what I see and what hurt me so bad, I saw too many pastors that separated themselves from the people and became untouchable. It's a way of fleeing from the hard work of the people because they no longer care about the sheep. And that became something broken in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I say it now and I say it again, God is moving in on his church and he's looking for a mature bride. A mature bride. A bride, not only that, he's looking for mature pastors and leaders like you saw this morning that love Jesus and love the people. I tell every one of these pastors, all of them, they ask me, how do you become qualified to be? I've had people come into church full of long resumes. How do you become a pastor around here? Well, I say, you know, your resume is impressive, but I got two qualifications, that you love Jesus and you're madly in love with the people. Until I see that in your serving for a long time, just get to work. Money in itself is not evil. It's not evil. You know, I know we can misinterpret that scripture. And money is God's idea. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, very early, Moses wrote in 8:18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Again, as he said, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Listen, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers to this day. He gives you the power to get wealth for a purpose, to establish his covenant, to establish his kingdom. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And this is often missed, and will go in and out and find pastures. He will go in and out. What he's saying is you will go in and out from the sheep pen into the world. You will go in and out from spiritual Israel to spiritual Egypt and back to Israel, in and out from our churches, from your homes to the workplaces and back again. Why? For provision. Pastures, green grass. And let me put it into today's vernacular, green money. He says you will go in and out. My wife and I, for a long time, many of you know, we did 30 plus years working in corporate America. I was with Delta and then IBM as a IT industry expert, as they called it, and compensated very well. And my wife with Coca-Cola Company and all the way up through the ranks and just to vice president of in human resources, just up through the ranks. And through the latter part of that, the last 10 or 15 years, we were also serving the Lord with all we had over the top. And we had a running joke in the morning. We'd wake up, and quite often I would look at her, and she's dressed, getting ready to go out the door, and I'm getting ready. And I would give her a little pet in a spot that only married men should pet their wives. It's all right, baby. Go on to Egypt. Get the gold and bring it back to Israel. And we used to say that all the time, going to Egypt to get to go and bring it back to Israel. In and out from the sheep pen to spiritual Israel, back to Israel. Jesus wants those that are his to have abundant life. He wants you to have abundant life. He said, I came to give life and to give life more abundantly. What abundant life means is that Jesus wants you to have all that you need to accomplish everything that he wants you to do. That is abundant living. That is abundant living. And therefore, God talks a lot about this topic of money. I almost had to repent for being so burned from the past that I barely even mention it. We give a little exhortation before tithes and offering, but I was like, why? The Bible contains roughly 500 verses on prayer and faith, but over 2,300 verses on the topic of money. And approximately 40% of Jesus' parables deal with money. God wants his people to have life and to have life more abundant. God wants his people to be the head and not the tail. God wants his people to be successful and not failures. God wants his children to be winners and not losers. God wants his people to be that word that burned our ears so much, but God wants us to be prosperous and not broke. Can I get an amen from anybody? But he wants it to be by his way, for his purposes, and by his measures. So I'm going to do a two-part series, not for long. This is almost going to double the amount of messages I preached on money. A two-part series on living the extravagant life. Can I get an amen? Come on, can I get an amen? Anybody against the extravagant life? Let me start. I can understand, you know, but no, it's time to get over it. God wants his people to live the extravagant life. But his way, for his purposes, by his measures. Let's pray. Father, I just come to you right now, Lord, just lifting up your holy name, Lord. I just thank you, Jesus. I just come with a heart of thanksgiving to you, Lord God, that you come, and you come again, and then you come again, and you reveal again to your church by your word, your way. Your way, Lord. You said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And you said, Lord, that you came to give life and give it more abundantly, Lord God. And so much you talked about this area of the heart concerning money, Lord. I just thank you, Lord God, for spurring me, Father God, to not be ashamed of the word nor testimony, to encourage your people forward in your purposes, Father God, concerning this area of money. So I pray a blessing upon your word, Father God. I pray that every word will ring pure from the Spirit of God, from the Word of God, praying for your people, not praying on your people. Oh, God, help us in this hour. Correct us in this hour. Bless us in this hour. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Okay, let's turn again. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. A famous discourse. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, therefore, my beloved, this is Paul, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, to help these women who have labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished. Your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus, I'm pronouncing the name wrong, sorry, Lord. The thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you. But especially those who are of Caesar's household. I love the personalness of this, the intimacy. By names and families. He said, God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Here's the first question, church, that the God laid on my heart. If what you have, what you own, if what you possess is only what you need, is that extravagant living? If all you have is just what you need, is that extravagant living? I would say, after prayer and reading the word that you all didn't get to do, the answer to that question is yes. It is. If we can ever be content with only having what we need, that is extravagant living. But who in America is only content with what we need? Stop it, please. That is absolutely anti-American. Can I get an amen? Is anti-capitalism, is anti-everything that is patriotic and American. Never, ever, ever be content until you get what you want. Can I get an amen? Perfect. But that's the message of our culture and our society, never be content, never be content, never quit, never be satisfied until you fulfill your bucket list, your dream list. What's on your bucket list? Never be content. You're not living the extravagant life until you get not only what you want, but you also get what you need. Then you will be living the extravagant life. But Paul said, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I want to submit to you this morning, if you can't find soul commitment right here, right there, you will never find true extravagant living in any of your wants that you acquire. Any of your wants. And we've scratched a lot off our bucket list, my wife and I. In fact, my bucket list is just about empty. Praise the Lord. But I praise the Lord even more that before the bucket list, I was content. And I learned very quickly that if you don't have a contentment in your soul with just that God has given what you need, whenever you get that car, whenever you get that house, whenever you get that watch, whenever you get that ring, whenever you get that whatever you after, you will only find that it will give you a short-term thrill, quickly followed by anxiety and disappointment and discontent. And then we'll creep in this fear, this paranoia of losing what you have. Why? Because living the extravagant life, and God wants you to live an extravagant life, but living the extravagant life starts from the inside out, not the outside in. It starts from the inside out. And not the outside in. And we live in a society that says no extravagant living from the outside in and not the inside out. You see, this letter from Paul is not written to the Pharisees as Jesus was speaking. Jesus was speaking to Pharisees, but Paul is speaking to the church, like us. Those who come after Christ. He said, therefore, my beloved and long-form brethren, my joy, my crown. You see, to live the extravagant life, I don't care what you have, but people must be more important than stuff. Oh, when are we losing that in the church? My God, help us out. Not New City Church, but my God, help us. Help pastors. Where the stuff becomes more important than the people. The status becomes more important than the people. Me and mine become more important than each other. And we wonder why the stuff does not satisfy. We wonder why we're still depressed. We wonder why it's still not enough. The video just amplified that people have to become more important than the money. Without love, there is no extravagant life. Without people that care about your heart and your soul, and you care about theirs, there is no extravagant life. And we live in a church today where the temptation is to isolate ourselves in our pain, in our discouragement, in our own thing. And it is absolutely epidemic in the Church of Jesus Christ. And we wonder, why? Why am I still depressed? Why am I still down? Like David said, why so downcast my soul in me? Why? And he goes on, he said, I implore Euodia and I implore Cynthia to be of the same mind. And I urge also companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel. Clement, he calling our names and the rest of my fellow workers. And look what he says, whose names are written in the book of life. That's the connection. That's the church, whose names are written in the book of life. Listen, to live the extravagant life, listen carefully, eternal things must matter more than material things. They must matter more than material things. Oneness in Christ, together as a church, oneness in Christ with each other, that is extravagant living. That is extravagant living in a church. That is extravagant living in your homes when it's open to others. My wife and I, we had a life group, I don't know how long, 15 years. It grew from 5 people to 10 people. The next thing you know, while we're working 10-hour a day corporate jobs, we would come home on Wednesday night, 50 to 70 people waiting for us in our house. Waiting for us, our basement. Can't find a parking space, can't get in your own driveway. Walk down the basement to the steps to the basement like, excuse me, hey, how you doing, excuse me, hey, you know what? That was extravagant living. I mean, that was extravagant living. My God, my God. Without eternal connection, there's no extravagant living. There's no extravagant life. A spiritual family. Eternal realities are greater possessions than earthly desires. And if we're going to have them, church, we have to change our lifestyles of isolation. Change our lifestyles of letting tiredness and weariness keep us away from the fellowship of the believers. And then he says, rejoice. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. Come on, tell your neighbor, rejoice. Come on. Rejoice, rejoice. A worship team, you might want to come on back. No, no, bro. Rejoice. Without the joy of the Lord inside, all that is outside will not satisfy your soul. No, I'm sorry. For believers, without the joy of the Lord inside, even on your worst day and on your best day, without the joy of the Lord, see, that's that eternal perspective. When you saved and you know it and you know the alternative, I don't care what I'm going through this earth. Hallelujah, Lord. You're worthy of my praise even on my worst day, even standing by the graveside, even standing by whatever it is. Hallelujah, Lord, even when tears are flowing. Hallelujah, rejoice. Worthy. You know why he's worthy? Because of the cross. He took your worst day to the cross. Rejoice. And then he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. I love that. He says, the Lord is at hand. Come on. This is a stress reducer. The world says, go after, go after, go after. At whatever cost, cut somebody off in traffic, road rage, go after, be number one. And I'm the worst at work. No, I shouldn't confess, but how many have had a bird shot at you for road rage? You know? Gentleness. Gentleness, meekness, even in the workplace, even in school, even though something's raging around you, I learned, you know, you can be gentle in the face of anger and rage, and the Lord blesses it. If in no other way, he blesses your blood pressure. My goodness. And then look what he says, he'd be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'm here to tell you this morning that God does want to hear your wants. He wants to hear your wants. We serve, you know, contrary to the way we feel sometimes, we serve a good, good Father. And he is a giver of needs. And he is a giver of wants. But like any good father, he knows the good wants from the bad wants. And what is a good want for you may be a bad want for me. And what is a good want for me may be a bad want for you. You know, that car you may be driving, or I may be driving, and many may want it, whatever. And you know, but you know what? That what you want doesn't feel so wantable about that third car note. You know, that big house kind of gets to be a big dungeon when you get 2 or 3 months behind. God wants to hear our wants, but he wants us to allow him once we hear him. Come on, Christmas is coming up. Kids, I want this, I want that, and I want this, and we go out and we know the good wants. We know what they're ready for. And we serve a good, good father. We have to learn to trust God with our want list. And he said, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Once you find that key to extravagant life, it must be guarded. You have to guard it, or spiritual Egypt, today's culture, will steal it away. I'm telling you to steal it away. It's contrary to God's ways. You turn on the television or you turn on the radio, if anybody still is listening to the radio, and you get advertising and you get marketing and you get buy now, pay later schemes and interest rate, and you get these things. I love them or I hate them, really. They say increase your credit score. Come on, anybody seen those? Increase your credit score. And then the next commercial is followed by a credit card commercial. What's in your pocket? What's in your pocket? Let me step back from the pulpit and just step back into a financial advisor role and just say this. If your credit score is higher than your net worth, let that sink a minute. If your credit score, my credit score is 719, but if your net worth ain't $719, okay, to compute your net worth, add up the value of all your material possessions that you own, and then add up all of your debts, and take the value of your possessions, subtract how much debt you have. What's right there, the difference, is your net worth. And for most of Americans today, that net worth is zero or less. So once again, I say, if your credit score is higher than your net worth, your heart and mind needs some guarding and new teaching. And if your credit score is high as your net worth, I wonder, why in the world are you not in here on Wednesday nights in Pastor Paul's Dave Ramsey course? I mean, why in the world? Come on, stand up, Pastor Paul. He's also a CPA. Come on, I mean, my wife and I did that years ago, and it changed our whole financial picture. To for many years now, testimony, zero debt for many years. We got nice cars, but guess what? God knew I was ready because we were able to write a check cash for each and every one of them. And that's not New City Church money, by the way. Let me give you testimony. I will just let you know how things operate around here in case you think I'm a money grab. I'm not. The elders tell me exactly how much I make. You know, and I help make the rules that way. And if you should write a $1 million check today, I will get the same thing as I got 2 weeks ago. Okay? And God has blessed me and Mona through the years in corporate America and even after corporate America that I actually tithe checking. Yes, we tithe on our gross and we have here for 30 years. What we actually tithe usually was the same or more than the church pays me. Okay, and that's not a bragamony, that's a testimony for someone, because we serve the Lord hard through that time, and I'm just thankful to God. And there's that popular political message of the day, And it goes something like this. Don't work harder to get ahead. Just find happiness and wait for the government to give you some free stuff. Oh, I'm stepping on a few toes now, Pastor Paul. Some free stuff that somebody else actually paid for. With this mentality, you will never, ever live the extravagant life. Never. You will only be the tail and not the head. And then Paul said, finally, brethren, whichever things are true, whatever things are noble, whichever things are just and pure, whichever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What he's saying is if the dominant thoughts of your mind is on what you don't have, on your fantasy goals, on your dream desires, is that the dominant thinking of your mind, or is the dominant thinking of your mind and prayers gratitude for what you do have? Gratitude for what you do have. You will never live the extravagant life until the dominant thought and the dominant mind is just like Paul, who was taken for nothing. He said, I lost everything for this gospel, but I am grateful. I'm simply grateful that God, that Jesus gave me something to do. I had a prayer moment just last week, and I'm looking around, and I'm thinking about this message, and I'm praying, and the Lord and I are having a conversation. I'm going to have conversational prayers with God. And we're having this conversation, and I'm going back and forth, and I'm in gratitude. I'm in gratitude. And Lord, I'm looking at the wants around me. Lord, what is it? And then I'm looking at all the things to do, you know, and I heard the Lord ask me. He asked me by name. He said, Gilbert, what do you want? And I told him I was down to one want. And that one is, I want to do something good for you. That's it. It's down to that. Oh, there's more big stuff. There are bigger houses, there are fancier cars. It's down to this now. I simply want to do something good for you. He said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things, learn to be full, hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. My wife and I, there's going to be a lot of testimony over the next 2 weeks, so just get ready. He just told me, let it go. So that's, you know. My wife and I have been blessed in corporate arenas and now in church arenas, there's, you know, carrying the title of pastor around different pastors. And in the way we walk, we have exposure to people in very, very high places. And we also have a lot of exposure to people on the streets. I'm homeless minister for years. And also in the highest corporate offices. My wife was up there swimming with the CEOs of Coca-Cola and the senior vice presidents. And I would go to these things, these events, and able to mingle with them. And then we almost go straight from there to downtown, to Ponce de Leon, or the homeless shelters. And even today, I like to go over in the areas of town that I won't even let my wife go in alone. And I go into places, and I sit down, and I eat, and I just listen and talk to people. Because I want to know what God is doing. I want to know what the devil is doing, and it helps me preach. And even today, and I've noticed something, that one observation I've had, Some of the most happy and joyful people that I have been around, that I have ever met, didn't have much at all. Some of the most joyful and happy people are living in circumstances that I'm like, oh my God. But and I'm talking especially about the believers in the joyful, happy, of freedom. And to the contrary, some of the most joyless, unpleasant, depressed people I have ever met had about everything a person could want. A lot of nice stuff. I mean, driving some serious cars and living in some serious real estate. The most joyless, unpleasant, depressed. Extravagant living is lived from the inside out, not the outside in. He said, everywhere and in all things I have learned. Godly money has to be learned. It does not come natural to the flesh. That's why the Dave Ramsey, that's why I'm saying what I'm saying this morning. Handling money in a godly way, handling wealth, pursuing wealth in a godly way is something that has to be learned. It's something that you have to set your mind to a certain disposition. It's something you have to learn to do. He says, God sent out. He said, in and out, in and out, in and out. He said, God gave you the power to attain wealth, to go get it. But how do you do it with joy and peace? In every circumstance. And he talked about the church sharing with him. He said, generosity to others, like that video. Generosity to the kingdom. We learned this long ago. If you're not a generous person, you would never live the extravagant life. Never. Never. You'll never have it. You cut off the pipeline. You cut off the pipeline of joy. Like the lady in the video, I felt such joy. I'm thankful. Testimony, again, you're here because I want to be an example. I want us to be an example. I sat down one day and I wrote down the cost of every house we ever lived in. Our house was paid for. I wrote down the cost of every car we ever owned. Vacations, and I added them all up and I came up with a sum. And then I added up over the years what we have given to the kingdom of God. And what we have given to the kingdom of God has far exceeded. And I wonder why the supernatural things happen financially in our life. I wonder why blessings from Egypt that if I could sit down and give testimonies, that I had to go in and explain to the elders just to be accountable. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. God wants to bless you financially. God wants to bless his people. God wants his people to have everything they need to do what he purposed you to do. And being a good father, I believe God wants you to have the wants in life, the ones that will bless you and not hurt you. We serve a good, good, good Father. But I've learned, and we've said in our life, certain principles of living in our household financially. I've learned, and one of the rarest prayers I have from the Lord is concerning stuff and money. But I've learned that God blesses principles. Principles. Like sowing and reaping. The Bible said, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Principles like the principle of first fruits. Honor the Lord God with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increases. Principles like principles of tithing. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Principles like principles of generosity. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Attainment of wants attainment of material things, possession of material things, material goals, is not the measure of extravagant life. Material goals don't validate spiritual health. But listen carefully, neither do material possessions invalidate spiritual health. Extravagant life is lived from the inside out, not the outside in. I remember I used to really admire a preacher. He was really funny all the time. But I was watching TV and he came on and he had these helicopter views of his huge mansion. And awesome. But he began to say, like, how this huge mansion validated that he had the anointing of the Lord. Some of you know who I'm talking about. I lost it. Sorry. And I had smelled it before. But when he just said in my heart, false teacher, you're a hireling. It's okay to pray for material things at once, but the great majority of your prayers should be prayers for spiritual ones. And I believe our hearts and minds, God is coming to bless his people, but he wants to adjust. So many believers, I believe, are not serving the Lord today because they have been the victims of false teaching. And we didn't turn out the way it was taught or turn out. See, we've been taught this cost-free Christianity. Following Jesus will cost you everything. And until everything becomes his, he can't trust you with anything. Oh, you can go get it on your own, Egypt's way. But the Bible says, come on, worship team, in Mark 8:36, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him, the Son of Man, also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. What will it profit a man or a woman if he gains the whole world, all his wants, if he gains it all and loses his own soul? The Lord wants me to pray this morning. I want to pray for business owners. I want to pray for careers. I want to pray for workers, laborers. I want to pray for the unemployed. We want to pray for those who need his job, but as we pray, it's also got to be a prayer to a commitment to do as his way. A commitment to, as he blesses you, and our God, I believe, is a covenant blesser, a blessing to put his kingdom first, a commitment to first fruits living. Some even a commitment to tithing. This is before the law. It was Abram and Melchizedek before Moses, the first tenth. Even Jesus said not to neglect these things. It's a kingdom principle. And God blesses it. A commitment to generosity. I told my wife about a year ago, and she's been watching me, you know, just, I'm going to be more generous. And not in the church, but in the streets. And I've been on that a year. People say, you know, I do funny things. I gave a $100 tip to the guy who drive my car at the car wash. And, you know, just paying for this for somebody. And, you know, paying for people to go on just on a vacation. Just paying, just being more generous. I mean, why? Yeah, I don't know. I just want to obey God and be generous. Because he's blessed us. So we're going to pray those prayers. Come on, how many want that kind of prayer this morning? So we're going to open the altars. We're just pastors and elders in the house. Come on up and prayer team. We're going to take some time and pray and worship for God to bless financially. Is that okay? Come on, let's change our hearts and not resist the blessings of the Lord in the area of finances. So.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram or join us on Facebook. Thank you and have a blessed week.